Good afternoon. Warm greetings to everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We continue to study the book of Ephesians. Chapters 4 and 5 and 6 are all on the practical aspect. And this afternoon our focus will be on walk as children of light. Walk as children of light is very difficult in the last days. Because what exactly is the nature of this walk as children of light? Because children of light basically is another term to describe Christians. And with Christianity in its apostate condition, it is very hard for people to see who really is a child of God. To walk means to live. It is a pattern of life. It is a life that is consistent, whether it is private or public. Whether there is man to see or not, we will live in the light. Children of light. No difference. Whether we live on earth or on the moon, we'll still walk as children of light. The Roman Catholics will claim that they are children of light. And they have the majority, obviously. And then you have the Charismatics and the New Evangelicals, Protestant groups. They also claim to walk as children of light, their own version. And to the New Evangelicals, they walk as children of light, believing that the Bible has mistakes, where the practice of biblical separation is very much truncated. It's up to them, pick and choose. And they will fraternize with men and seek the pleasure of men and the accolades of men. And then the Charismatics will be carnal, telling their followers, which numbered in the hundreds of millions all over the world, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and his desire is for you to walk as children of light. That means to be healthy and wealthy. Basically, that is carnality. Health and wealth, physically, on this earth, is carnality. And so their version of walking as children of light is basically another phrase for walking in carnality, and God is pleased with that kind of life. And then the Roman Catholics is one of greater superstition. They frighten you, so much so that you attend church, attend services, for fear of losing your salvation, because to them attending church is one of the ways to be saved, to keep your salvation, to maintain your salvation, to hold on to your salvation, among other things. And so all three of them claim to be walking as children of light. But what exactly is God's perspective of one who walks as children of light? Because that's the only perspective that matters. Because every one of us at the end of this walk, we were to stand before him and he will give us our evaluation, our final result, whether we truly walk as children of light or not. His word and his judgment is the only one that matters. And these two verses in Ephesians 5 verse 8 and verse 9 is very helpful. Helpful to all of us right here and now, because we do not want to find out at the end of our walk where there is nothing we can do to make any difference. And then to find that we got an F grade. That we actually have not been walking in the light, even though we have been thinking that we have been walking in the light. And so we thank God for these two verses that will help us evaluate right here and now whether we are truly walking in the light. And so the first truth that God revealed to us to help us is found in the first part of verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness. That means we were not able to walk as children of God or of light before. Impossible. I remember when I was in national service, we were in Pulau Tekong in 1974. I was there. 2.5 years of national service. One of the first few batches to have our recruit days, BMT, basic military training in Pulau Tekong. There were still some farmers there. And so sometimes when we have field camp training, we have to walk in the primary jungle in Pulau Tekong in those days. Especially in the middle of the night, where the foliage was thick and the moonlight and starlight could not penetrate. We were all literally walking in darkness, and so we had to hold on to the shoulder of the man in front of us in order for us to walk. You open your eyes big and wide, you couldn't see a thing. You could put your hand right in front of your face, 2 inches in front of your face, and you could see nothing. We were walking in darkness, literally absolute darkness. I've never experienced that kind of darkness before in my life, actually. Because back in the mainland in Singapore, we are always filled with lights everywhere. You fly into Singapore at night from the airplane and you look at this tiny little island. It's covered with lights, street lights, rows and rows and rows of light, buildings peppered with all kinds of bright lights. But that's not what verse 8a says, is it? If only that was God's description of us, it would not be so bad. Because we can walk out of this darkness, right? I'm walking in darkness now. Well, let me find a place where I can walk in the light. God did not say that ye are walking in darkness before. He did not say ye were sometimes walking in darkness. He says ye were sometimes darkness. We are the darkness, not the environment outside of us that is darkness. That is worse. That means, even if I am walking in the light, and because I am darkness, the light around me will not be able to shine through. That means, if I am an unbeliever sitting right now in this sanctuary, you're surrounded by people of light. This is the word of God, the light of truth. And because you are darkness, you may be in an environment where it is spiritual light, surrounded by people who are born again, where the word of God is clearly, accurately taught or preached. You attend Bible study, and all this while, you are still darkness. That's what the Lord wants us to realize. The darkness is not outside, the darkness is us. That's why he says, for ye were sometimes, there was a time in the past, we were darkness. Now what exactly does that mean that we were darkness? In darkness means, I'm inside Roman Catholic Church. I'm inside one of these other religions. I'm in darkness. Because there is no truth. There is no light of truth. But we are darkness, God says. What does it mean to be, we are darkness? Because we have to know what we were like before, so that there will be a very, very good contrast to help us know that this life that I'm living right now, having claimed that I am a child of God, a Christian, there must be a very stark contrast, because night or darkness and light, it's a stark contrast. There is no contrast more stark than such a contrast as described here. We were once darkness, but now are ye light. That's a contrast. So before we know whether we are walking in the light, God says, I want you to remember those times when you were darkness. What were you like? Well, let's look at what it was like for a person to be called darkness. His mind is dark. What is a dark mind? A mind that is dark is a mind that is consumed with materialism, the things of the flesh. For a student, all he cares about is grades. All he cares about is try to be number one in class. All he cares about is how to be the best in school, how to get that scholarship, how to get that award. And his aim and his goal is how to get into that particular secondary school, the best in Singapore. And then after he got into this secondary school, he wants to be the best in that school so that he could be the best and top the whole of Singapore, so that he can get into the faculty of his heart's desire in the university that he longed to be in. His mind is occupied by these. And so he will plan his life accordingly, because that's his mind. It consumes him. Now that is the mind of almost every Singaporean. Sure, you go to other countries, they will have a different version based upon the culture of that country. And why do they want to get all these things? The goal will be the same for everyone. A luxurious life, a comfortable life. Those who do not have much, their parents may not have much, well, they want to have much in their lifetime. Maybe the goal is very noble, to take care of mom and dad. But it is still a representation of a darkened mind. And for those who are already well off, they are very frightened and fearful of losing what they already enjoy. And therefore they are also consumed by wanting to maintain their luxurious life, if not desiring to be more luxurious, if that is ever possible. And so the goal of a darkened mind is very materialistic. And for those who work, no difference. For those who work at home, no difference. They will want their spouses to work hard and to bring in more money, because they tend to compare other wives or other husbands. And that comparison will never end, because after you compare with A, you have overtaken A, you are now more materialistic and you are more well off than A, then you begin to compare with B, and then C, and then D, until you finish your life, until your walk ends. Isn't that a description of a darkened mind? And a darkened heart is not any better. It is a heart that is fearful. Fearful of sickness, fearful of poverty, fearful of death. Gripped by fear all the time. And so they make sure they will eat well, they exercise well, and they're very careful with their diet, they go to the gym, and they do all kinds of things to keep themselves healthy and strong. But no matter how they try, they fail to realize that it is a losing battle. As age catches up, you can see from others' example, very, very strong men and women, very, very fast, very strong at their prime in their early 20s. But now that they are in their 60s and 70s, what happened to their youthful strength and energy? All gone, dissipated. And yet, though knowing this will be their ultimate reality, they just simply cannot give up or escape from this grip of fear of death. So they will try their best to maintain their health for fear of being afflicted by any terminal sickness. Very, very frightened. The heart is gripped by fear constantly. Fear of failure, fear of so many things, because they have a superstitious heart. Certain days they will not travel. They have a routine. This will bring me good luck. This will bring me bad luck. This is their life. Was this not our life? And then you will also see what's it like for a person to be darkness when you listen to their words. The words will be vulgar, coarse, filthy, dirty jokes. And of course, they're going to talk a lot of things that are worldly and carnal. Sports, if they are obsessed with sports, their favorite sportsmen, sportswomen, and they're going to imitate them and follow them. They're going to talk about them all the time. And then they like to murmur and complain like everybody else. Never contented, never satisfied. The mouth of a person of darkness. Their words will reveal and expose their darkened mind and their darkened heart, because their desires are also darkened. Their desire is to seek the favor and the pleasures of men. All the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life consume them. They satisfy these three terrible sins that are found in every sinner. And the more you feed the lust, the more the monster called lust, give me some more, give me some more. And the pride will continue to be fed with more and more self-righteousness and boasting and arrogance. And he thinks that he is living a good and successful and the best life that this world has to offer. And in a way, he is right. That's the best this world can offer you. It will pander to all your carnalities and all your lusts, fill it to the brim, all your tastes. Whatever taste you want, sweet, the world will have. Whatever garment you want that is soft and comfortable, you get it. You work very hard for it and you will be able to purchase. All that will pertain to the darkened soul. We are darkness. The Bible says we were darkness, past tense. Were you like that before? Those who are brought up in church, you need to take heed more than anyone who belong to the first generation believers. Because you are walking on the path of holiness before you were holy. You were brought up in church. You've been exposed to the Word of God. If you have godly parents, you're already living in a home where the environment is godly. But you are not a godly person yet. You are darkness. But you are walking in the light. But you are darkness, and therefore you might not think and feel and know what a darkened mind is, because your mind is already filled with the knowledge of the Word of God, even though you have not possessed the mind of Christ. You know all the facts. You know all the data. And before anyone could ever preach the gospel, you could even recite the gospel. Before anyone could ever tell you about the life of this character in the Bible, that character in the Bible, you have already known it many times over. And yet, you are darkness. To an unbeliever, first generation, he is filled with the world. To a second generation sinner, whose parents are believers, you are also darkness. But your mind is a mixture of the world and the knowledge of the Word of God. I hope that was the old you, not the new person. Because if you say that you are born again in Christ, a new person in Christ, then God says you are now able to walk as children of light. Why? Before that, you were not able, because you are darkness. And you must understand, knowing the Word of God, knowing about Christ, does not make you a believer. Just like those who knew everything about the ark in Noah's days, they probably knew every square inch inside and outside. It took Noah about 100 years to build and to complete. I'm sure he did not build it alone with his 3 sons and 3 daughters-in-laws. He must have helped. These people knew so much about the ark, but the tragedy was they were not in the ark. You may know everything about the Bible. You may know so much about the Lord Jesus Christ, his humanity and his deity. You may know the Bible data and facts better than some truly born-again believers. But you may be darkness still. And therefore, the Lord says, make sure of your salvation. Make sure that you are walking as children of light. Because the person who walks as children of light constantly, daily, because that's the meaning of the word walk. He never stopped. He will never stop walking as children of light. Why? Because He is light. Ye are light. That's the stark contrast. You are light, therefore you will walk in the light. How does a person become light? The light there is not in himself. He cannot make himself. Suddenly I'm dark and now I switch off some switch inside my soul, in my body, and now suddenly I become light. Impossible. That's why the Lord is so precise. Ye are light in the Lord. And that Lord, of course, is Jesus Christ. A person who is thoroughly, truly born again in Christ. The Bible describes him as ye are light in the Lord Jesus Christ. Your mind is transformed. You are now blessed with the mind of Christ. Therefore, you begin to think like Christ. A person who thinks like Christ will learn to fill his mind with the word of Christ. You want to know what's it like? The Apostle Paul, before his conversion, he was similar to a second generation believer. Because his mind was filled with the knowledge of God, the Old Testament knowledge, of course. But the moment he was born again, all the knowledge that he had of the Old Testament suddenly took on a new spiritual dimension that he had never experienced before. For example, I'm sure he knew about Isaiah 53. And to him, before salvation, Isaiah 53 was just simply about someone who was suffering. But he did not know that that someone was the Messiah, the Christ. But the moment he was born again in Christ, Isaiah 53 took on a new meaning and dimension that he never knew before. When you speak to an Orthodox Jew about Isaiah 53, they are going to explain to you that it is not about the Messiah. Because they can only grasp a conquering Messiah, but not a suffering Messiah. But the moment Apostle Paul's mind was transformed into the mind of Christ, from a darkened mind, and now he had a mind that is filled with light. The moment he recalled Isaiah 53, every aspect, every jot and tittle of that 12 verses, he understood it to refer to no other but Jesus of Nazareth is described in Isaiah 53. His suffering. There is a change. There is a transformation. And you know it, you feel it. Because the darkened mind and the mind that is now light is completely different. Your mind is no longer gripped by materialism. You go to school and you're no longer very obsessed with grades. You now suddenly realize that what is more important than my getting grades is to pray and to trust in the Lord to help me in my studies. To give my best for the glory of God, so much so that if my friend needs help, I will help my friend and put aside my own studies in order to help my friend who is struggling. And you will do it without hesitation. But in the past, you would never even toy with the idea of helping someone, especially in the midst of exam, because me is number one. Why would I help you? I want to be better than you. If I help you, you become better than me. That is going against my darkened heart, darkened mind's desire. You'll not do it. And even if you try to help, you will hold back certain knowledge. Don't help him so much. Maybe just a little bit. I cannot help him to become better than me. So that I will be number two in class, I want to be number one. But the moment you are born again, all these things suddenly becomes inconsequential. You don't care for these things anymore. If comes, it comes. It doesn't come, it doesn't come. It doesn't matter. Now all that matters to you now is how to glorify my Lord Jesus Christ by being the best student at home, in class. Not in terms of grades, But in terms of diligence, in terms of honesty, in terms of hard work, in terms of helping my fellow classmates, so that by my good works they will see Christ in my life. By your obedience, your respect for your teachers now, no more murmuring and backbiting and saying all kinds of terrible things behind the teacher's back. You learn to respect authority. You do not want to use all kinds of vulgarity because your words will change, because your mind has changed, your desires will change, because your heart is now filled with the love of Christ. No more the love of self. And therefore you do anything, whatever it takes to please your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, because of this first love that you have for Him that now consumes your soul. Because that is the heart of a person who is light in the Lord. The Lord dwells in him. The Lord is everything to him now. Jesus Christ is the most important person in your life. And whatever he wants you to do, you will do. Your own personal ambition is now put aside. Never, never to be resurrected. Put to death. And now your life is like a living sacrifice where you will go down on your knees and offer it to the Lord and say, Lord, what do you want me to do with this life that now belongs to you, for you have redeemed it, not with gold, not with silver, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Show me. And I will obey and do what you want me to do and go where you want me to go. That is a person who is light in the Lord. Because now the Lord means everything to him. In contrast to self, meant everything to him in the past. This person who is light in the Lord is the only person who can continue to walk in the light. Oh, there are a lot of imitators. There are a lot of imitators in Bible colleges and seminaries and in churches, including churches like Truth BBC. They come and they try to walk in the light, hoping that they can maybe one day become light. They will not. They are deluding themselves. And some of them may even come in with a hidden agenda. For whatever ulterior motive, you pretend to walk in the light. I've counseled some before. Sadly, tragically. They want to marry this young girl, this young man. And therefore, they pretend to walk in the light in order to go through all the externals. You want me to go through basic Bible knowledge classes to be baptized? Fine. Whatever you put in front of them, they will do it because the ulterior motive is to walk down the aisle with that person. And the moment they got married, the true colors reveal itself and they know the person cannot get a divorce. And the nightmare begins for the person who is truly a child of God, but not that person who pretends to walk in the light as a person of darkness. He just condemned his own soul. Unless the Lord show mercy to him, unless he repents of his transgression and his ulterior motive in pretending to walk as children of light. Only those who are light in the Lord are able to walk as children of light because they are children of light. The most important relationship you have on earth is the relationship with God Almighty, your Heavenly Father. And you have to keep this relationship burning brightly and hot. And to do so, you read God's Word and you study it with a heart of obedience. And you pray and you cry to the Lord so that the Lord will help you and open your eyes. And pray to the Lord to deepen and to strengthen your faith so that your life will truly be a life of faith. For without faith, you know you cannot please Him. You will do whatever it takes to please Him. You will sacrifice whatever that displeases Him. Because that's the life of a child of light, a child of God. Because He is light. Is this your life, your testimony, the contrast? Because verse 8 gives us the contrast to help us. The best way to know our salvation and whether we are walking in the light in the last days is the contrast. And if your life has not changed, if your life is just the same, coming to church is a waste of your time. The harder it will become for you if you keep on resisting. You keep on coming, keep on resisting. Please understand that every time you come, there is a layer of dead skin that covers your heart. You come another Lord's Day and you resist again another layer until what you have is a hardened heart. Just like Pharaoh. Miracle number one. Plague number two. Plague number three. Pharaoh hardened his heart, hardened his heart. He hardened his heart through all five plagues. Layer upon layer upon layer covered his heart until plague number six. The Lord hardened his heart and that was it. And even though the plagues increased in severity and intensity, culminating in the last and final plague, which was the death of all their firstborn sons, all they could do was external. Get rid of them before they destroy our entire Egypt. Why didn't they say, get rid of them before God destroy our soul? Let us repent and believe in the God of the Israelites. Why didn't they come to that conclusion? Moses did. Some of the Israelites did. Sadly, not all of them did. But that's what the Lord wants. To bring conviction and conversion. To help us. The Lord knows that as Gentiles, living in a world and a society of idolatry, we need all the help to make sure of our salvation. Many, many verses in the New Testament, very few in the Old Testament to give us the assurance of salvation, the evidence of salvation. And this afternoon, verse 8 is all about the contrast. And you must say that I have this contrast before God. I thank God I know I have this contrast, what my old life was like and what my new life is like. I was darkness, but now I am light in the Lord. Can this be your honest to goodness testimony before God, your confession? If anyone were to ask you, you can look the person in the eye and in all transparency and in all sincerity, yes, I thank God. This verse describes my experience, my life. And I know what it means in my heart, in my soul. Because I knew what my life was like before. I knew what kind of mind I had. I knew what kind of heart I had. And I knew what my vocabulary were like in the past. But now, it's completely like night and day. Light and darkness. So what exactly is this walk? Well, verse 9, in parentheses, describe and define it for us. Just in case. God doesn't want us to guess. And so verse 9 says, for the fruit of the Spirit, that means a person who now has the indwelling of the Spirit of God in him, he will now bear fruit. He will exemplify. He will demonstrate for others to see. Right? Demonstrate. That's what fruit means. Fruit means something that is visible. Okay, it's fruit, one fruit, not fruits. One fruit means this is a fruit that has many, many different aspects, many different tastes. It's sweet, it's bitter, it's all in one. Alright, similar to fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. Well, same, singular, fruit of the Spirit. And in this context, what exactly does this describe? Goodness, righteousness, and truth. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. The opposite of a person who is darkness, no goodness, full of badness and selfishness and self-centeredness, no righteousness, full of unrighteousness and all things that pertain to personal gain and benefit, lying is not something that he would think twice. He will lie if he can get something out of it, and therefore he doesn't have truth. Oh, it may be a mixture, but he doesn't have truth. So the Bible describes for us, defines for us what the meaning of walk is. And these are all visible and external, in contrast to the list in Galatians 5 that is internal. Because this word goodness is beneficial to others. Like Tabitha in Joppa. The Bible describes her as a disciple of Christ. And she was very generous. She gave a lot of her personal wealth. And she sacrificed a lot. Her life is a life that will benefit others externally. That's the meaning of this goodness. And because the person is already good, he's a good person. Only Christians are good people because we have been given the goodness of God in us. And therefore, we can do the good things. And these good things are the benefit that will help sinners come to know Christ. This is not about good things in terms of going to some community center every Saturday morning and then you help this person. And help. It's not that kind of goodness. When nobody knows that you are a Christian. This is the kind of goodness where people know that you are a believer and you are doing it as a believer constrained by the love of Christ. Where when you do it, people know that it is Christ that will be glorified. That kind. You can be a good Christian taxi driver and then you pick up your fare and then you send this person very safely and nicely to his destination and you never share about Christianity, never talk about Christ. You cannot say that that's a good deed. That is not a good deed because you just simply did it as a job to make some money. If you share the gospel during this journey and you talk about Christ and you talk about the love of God for him in Christ, now that is a good deed. A goodness that benefit, that will help person. You visit someone in the church constrained by the love of the Savior. You don't benefit anything out of it. It's sacrifice that you made. You went and buy something, buy some a box of brand or things of chicken, for example, and then you visit the person's home. It comes out of your own pocket. You sacrifice your time. Your time, you could have gone somewhere else to do certain things, but you went to this person's home and you encouraged the person. You pray for the person. You cheer the person up. You speak word from the scriptures to strengthen the faith of the person. That is what it means by this goodness, where it will physically, tangibly benefit someone. That's the goodness. Because the person who walked as children of light, this will be the impact. You have to impact people. That's why you cannot run away. You cannot not serve. And when you go into the world, how does a person impact a sinner who is a child of God walking as children of light? You point people to the Savior. During lunchtime, we share Christ with them. When you fly in an airplane, if you can still fly again with your colleagues, while you're in the plane, you share Christ with them. They look at your life, you are different. You don't laugh at their filthy, dirty jokes like everybody else. You influence and impact them just because you are light. I remember when I was working, once a month, my boss will have a company lunch for everybody. And so I was the only Christian. And so while we sat at the table to eat, it's a small firm, not that many people, about 12 to 15 people. And so we all sat there to eat. And so everybody will dig in when lunchtime begins. All the food was on the table. And I will give thanks before I start eating. And then this went on for a few months. I did not know that my boss was watching. I just pray and give thanks. And then one lunch, suddenly when I bowed my head, was about to give thanks, or all of them would start eating, he told everybody to stop. Don't eat yet. Let's run you pray first. I was shocked. For the first time, he asked me to pray out loud, to give thanks for everybody's food. Then after we finished the meal, before they left, he said, do you have to give thanks again? I said, no need, it's okay. He was observing me. He was watching what I did. Of course, when I have lunch with my colleagues. I will share Christ with them. Lunchtime is my time. 1 hour. Whenever the opportunity arises. And in between our projects, when we have a little bit of free time, we will have chit-chat, talk. And sometimes when they say all those terrible things, they crack filthy jokes and dirty jokes, I will voice my opinion. I will tell them, You are all parents. The time I was not married. I was in my early mid-20s. I said, why do you all say all these words? You're parents. I'm sure you won't say these words in front of your children, right? Why do you say all these words and crack all these dirty jokes and make people laugh using all these dirty things that you won't even say at home? Why do you do that? Of course, they kept quiet. And little by little, they stopped all these filthy jokes. I thank God I was able to experience what Jesus meant when he says that we are the salt and light to a world that is dying in sin. Whether they all accepted Christ or not, I do not know, because I managed to work only for 3.5 years before the Lord called me into full-time ministry. But I did what I could by the grace of God to leave behind the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, to share the gospel, and to let them see as best as they possibly could what the life of a Christian ought to be like. And leave the rest to the Lord to work in their hearts and to bring salvation. They stopped using vulgarity. They stopped cracking dirty jokes. Or at least when I'm around with them. When I'm not around with them, whether they continue and went back to their old ways, I do not know. But I share with them, I spoke with them, and I talk with them, and tell them. That's what we must do. Something that is natural, not something that we pretend or fake. To do it with some ulterior motive. There's no ulterior motive. Just do it because that's who we are. That's the new us. Where all this carnality, materialism, all this vulgarity will make us feel very, very terrible. Once upon a time, we soak ourselves in them. We delight in them because they came out of us too. But thank God we have been delivered. Thank God that we have a new life that we can do good now. That will really help people without any hidden agenda. They don't have to reciprocate in any form, in any manner. They don't even need to say thank you. They don't want to. It's fine. And you will continue to be good and do more and more good. Why? Because of Christ. Because you are now light in the Lord. This is how you walk as children of light. Just do good, just as Christ did. Christ sacrificially came and died for depraved sinners like ourselves. And he did it freely, willingly. So must we. So must we. And then it must also be characterized by righteousness. All things that are right in the eyes of God, according to scriptures, we will always do what is right. Stop practicing situational ethics. Stop trying to make decisions based upon what you think. You can manipulate the consequence, the outcome. If you have been doing that for a long time, you have a lot of conscious, deliberate action to stop yourself. And let the word of God, let the truth that is based upon God's righteousness be the only lamp and guide in life's pathway. Righteousness. Do all things that are right. But if I have to go to jail for it, then you go to jail for it. If I do what is right, it will be pleasing to God, even though at times it may not be pleasing to man. But you must do what is right, because that is the way of a child of light. If I told a lie and I'm caught, if I make a mistake and I have to pay the price, then do what is right. And what is the right thing to do if you make a mistake? Own up to it. Don't look for scapegoat, don't blame anyone. If you really committed a transgression, don't try to justify, don't try to mitigate and diminish your culpability. Just say, I am so sorry for what I have done, I am wrong. That's it. Don't try to mitigate it. But you know, no but. No further explanation necessary. Just say, I am so sorry, please forgive me. That's it. The moment you try to justify, you're trying to diminish your guilt, your culpability. Don't do that. Because that's not the right thing to do. When a person commits adultery, don't try to protect your name anymore. What's the right thing to do? You have damaged very, very badly the image of Christ in your life by your adulterous relationship. You should no longer be concerned of whether you should keep it private and save your face in the eyes of fellow men. That should not even be in your mind anymore. By your action, you have terribly destroyed, practically, the image of Jesus Christ in your life, in the eyes of your mom, your dad, your wife, your children who knows, and your friends who know, and all you care about now must be how to repair back the damage. How can I fix it? Tell me, Lord, I'm prepared to do anything. If you want me to come to the pulpit and publicly confess, so be it. Please show me how to repair back the terrible damage that I have done to the image of Jesus Christ by my foolishness. That should be your one and only concern now. Not how to save your face, but to save the image of Christ in your life, because that's the right thing to do. Because you are now a child of light. You are light in the Lord, and therefore all things righteous must now emanate from your thought and from your heart and from your life. What's the right thing to do? Because we are not perfect. And so a holy person will do what is right to repair back the holiness that he has lost by that transgression, right? And a person who wants to sincerely repent, he must bear fruits of repentance, and that must be evidence. Whatever it takes, I will do it, Lord, because I have shamed your name. Help me. Help me to repair and take away that shame. That's the right thing to do. And finally, truth. You will tell the truth, because the opposite is the father of lies. The firstborn child of the father of lies is lying. Deception. No longer must you tell lies. That's why in our home, and we bring up our children. You're all three of them, and they're in primary school. Any homework? No homework. Next week, the following week, the teacher will call. How come your child did not pass the homework? Straight away come home. The teacher just called. Take out your hand. Lying at home always came. No way you can escape. It's a matter of how many strokes and how hard the strokes are. The moment you lie came, nip it in the bud before they continue, because to lie as an adult is going to be devastating. Don't ever let them lie as part of their life. That's the firstborn child of the devil, lying. He's the father of lies, right? So the firstborn child is lying. But the child of God who is now light in the Lord, truth. Truth must now characterize your life. Tell the truth. No matter what, always tell the truth. Of course, you must do so with tactfulness. Right time, right place, right words. Tell the truth. Especially when you report a transgression, a conflict. Tell the truth to the best way you know how. Don't try to massage it. Don't try to sugarcoat it. Don't try to take some facts out and then manipulate until the person comes to the wrong conclusion because you play with the facts. You rearrange the facts. Be truthful. Because you are now a child of light. Sure, truth according to the Bible will be objective truth. But truth, subjective truth, must also be characterized, because this is about the person, and therefore subjective truth should be the emphasis. That you are now a truthful person. You tell the truth. Where did you go? Tell the truth. Who you are? Tell the truth. Don't hide. Be truthful. Because that's another definition of a person who is light in the Lord. These three are part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And all who are walking in the light must demonstrate goodness, righteousness, and truth. We thank God for His help in helping us to ascertain the reality of our salvation. For we are living in a fallen Christianity. Make sure that your life is truly a life that walks and live out as children of light, in great contrast to so many professing believers who also claim to walk as children of light. May the light of Jesus Christ truly shine forth through you, at home, at work, in school, and in church. Wherever you go, wherever you are, you never stop being children of light, and therefore walk as such. Let us pray.
Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank and praise Thee that You have saved us and left us behind to walk as children of light to a world that needs to see the light of Jesus Christ in the lives of all Your children. Help us first and foremost to make sure this afternoon that we are truly no longer darkness, but light in the Lord. And therefore, we are able to walk as children of light. May this be seen in our lives, in our relationships with people all around us, in church and outside of the church as well. Help us, therefore, to make sure of our salvation. For we live in a world of greater confusion. And yet, O Lord, we know that no matter how dark the world that we're living in, the Lord Jesus Christ will still be our light. And His light is able to penetrate through the deepest darkness that is within our heart and our soul. And we pray, O Lord, that all of us may truly confess that there was indeed a stark contrast and transformation that has occurred in our lives, that we know in our own heart of hearts that we are indeed children of light, because You have saved us unto Thyself in Christ Jesus. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for Thy glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.